Hello and welcome to the program, UFO Warning. In this episode, we're talking about a lifetime of alien abduction. That's correct, a lifetime of alien abduction. Now, the story's by Chris Hall, dated March 28, 2016. We've talked about some of the stuff they've written before. I think just an excellent author. And you can find this article on UFODigest.com. That's UFODigest.com. Before I get into the article, though, just quickly, I want to just mention yesterday I did the podcast on Gary McKinnon, and you know, of course, back in the early 2000s, he was the guy that hacked into the NASA computers and discovered the images of UFOs and the roster of space employees. It looked like we had a space force before they announced we had a space force. I think a really interesting topic, but something strange happened. You know, normally these podcasts, you know, see 1,000 downloads the first day pretty easily. This one had 178. That's about 15% of normal. So I don't know if people are just that disinterested in Gary McKinnon. I think I've done podcasts that were probably less interesting than that one. Or it's almost like the system, the algorithm maybe, is just shutting it down. Clearly to me, the deep state does not want us to question the narrative. They don't want us knowing about these things. And I think the fact that I have brought up the possibility that whatever these things are, that the deep state might be in collusion with them, I think that's a hot button issue for these people. And it seems like when we talk about the things that really matter, those are the hardest messages to get out sometime. But I just wanted to throw that out there. If you did see or did listen to the podcast and you enjoyed it, let me know. Maybe people just aren't that interested in NASA hiding images of UFOs. I tend to think that people are, though. This article is titled "The Two Sisters and the Horror of a Lifetime of Abductions" by Chris Hawley, published March 28, 2016. It says, "While writing and interviewing the group of people to whom I refer to as the real-time abductees, two sisters became part of the abductee group. I use the term real-time abductions to describe abductions and lost time events that regular everyday people are forced to endure while going about the routine of their normal daily lives. The people are not asleep or hypnotized. They do get messages telepathically. These abductions occur while the people are fully awake and going about the routine business of their everyday lives." I think he does a really good job here just laying the groundwork for these abductions. "There are common occurrences that link these specific types of abduction. The people are all fully awake, going about their business, day or night, when suddenly they find that they are in a situation that leaves them open to being taken. They may be driving alone in their cars or walking down a lonely street or simply placing their trash out at night for pickup the next day. All that is needed is a moment of opportunity for those who take these people to quickly snatch and abduct them for whatever purpose they so desire." This scenario reminds me a lot of what these people disappear from these national parks, the same kind of a thing. "The real-time abductees usually remember the start of the encounter and what they were doing when the approach of either strange lights, an unknown craft, or odd life forms appear. The abductees may or may not have any recall of what takes place during the time they are taken by their captors, but do recall waking up ill and shaken, sometimes close to where they were taken, and at other times they may be miles away from where the abductions occurred. The abductee usually finds a lost time of about 3 hours, and at best only flash memories of what took place while they were missing." This is another thing that Pilates covers in his Missing 411 series, how these people are, you know, they may go missing on a trail. Maybe they're hiking with other people. They just disappear when no one's looking. And then they find the individual or the body miles away up a mountainside. Kind of same kind of thing. Like they've been picked up, taken somewhere, and dropped. Or sometimes they've been carried there at a high rate of speed, like we hear with these Bigfoot attacks. "Many of the people I've interviewed over the years have been tortured with these strange lost time events of abduction starting in childhood and continuing on during their lifetimes until they are in their 70s. Many come from families where the oddness is generational and can be traced back to parents and grandparents. There are families where multiple members are taken. I am sad to report that I have been contacted by two older members of the abduction group that I interviewed and wrote about a few summers ago. They wanted to inform me of what was continuing to happen to them. I somehow thought, as I started my research years ago on this subject, that with age would come a reduction of abduction events in the life of the abductees. Many of them who were aging did find they were no longer being taken, and they did feel the aging process could be what was protecting them from their horrid kidnappings and abusive abductions by unknown beings. I like the fact that he's very clear here. This is an abusive situation. This isn't something where they've been chosen or these things are just happen to be brutal and don't mean to be, okay? This is not a good situation. Kate and Donna are two sisters who were both lifelong abductees, as was their father. Now both seniors, they hope they were past having to deal with the horror of abduction at this point in their lives. But unfortunately, it appears to continue despite the fact that they are aging and were hopeful this nightmare would end with their advanced ages. The younger sister, in her early 60s, recently retired from a successful career in science, mostly in research labs. The other sister is a bit older and at age 75 spends her time in her home, retired from her career as a medical doctor. The sisters have had successful careers as well as being married with children and grandchildren. So you see, both these ladies are professionals. Both of them seem to be in the sciences, one a science researcher and the other a medical doctor. So these would seem like good candidates for eyewitness testimony. By all outward appearances, you would not think anything was out of the ordinary or strange in the lives of the sisters. They appear normal in all ways, including living in typical suburban homes, surrounded by long-term neighbors, friends, and family. It has been a long, hard road for Kate and Donna, as they have been fighting with and dealing with lost-time abductions ever since they were children. Kate recalls being taken very early in life, starting before the age of 5, while Donna's events begin later in life, with the first event happening in her early 20s. The sisters have other siblings who seem to have been spared this burden of abduction. However, the woman's father, starting when he was 13, also suffered abduction encounters, which stayed with him until he was in his late 50s. This is one of these family situations, it sounds like, where they're just abducting these people intergenerationally. The sisters, knowing this about their father, hope they would be spared continued abductions once they started to age. Sadly for them, this is not the case. Both sisters have had continuous abductions. Kate contacted me to let me know that she and her entire family would be leaving with her sister's family to a new area in which they will be taking drastic steps, which I will not be going into, in order to try to prevent any more events happening to the sisters. The sisters met with me to tell me what had happened to them, and to my regret, to say goodbye. Man, this sounds like some pretty heavy stuff, actually. They're trying to flee from these aliens by moving to another part of the country. Both sisters suffered physical problems due to a lifetime of abductions from which they were returned ill, burned, or physically altered to the point they both have extreme problems with illness, skin infections, as well as other physical oddities. Having science backgrounds and knowing many people whom they were able to trust to help them, the two sisters feel that their backgrounds did help them survive their abduction ordeals. They feel that they were without question taken due to a genetic feature unique to their father's family. The sisters think they were used as samples for adrenal, hormonal, or DNA biological material. Man, that's some pretty scary stuff. It's just like we talk about with the cattle sometimes. And like, I'll say it again, you know, YouTube got all freaked out when I did that video a few years ago on the bovine blood. I think it was a podcast and I converted it to video and talking about the fact maybe these things are using cow blood, because cow blood is something that we use here on Earth to, it's part of, you know, developing medicines for humans. There's some compatibility there between human blood and cattle blood. So maybe there's some connection. I don't know. Well, believe me, YouTube did not like that little insightful comment one bit. And they probably won't like this either. It says, they knew early on that they were somehow being drained, as it took them weeks to recover back to a degree of health after each abduction. As the years passed and the encounters continued, the sisters both started to develop strange ailments and horrific skin problems that went unexplained by the medical help that they were able to find. Well, I guess it's not much help if they can't help you, is it? Kind of reminds me of the Havana syndromes. Donna, being a doctor, and Kate, a person of science, were actually able to stay alive by way of their own backgrounds and abilities. They would often say that those who go through this hell without the knowledge to survive may often die young and without the true cause of what was happening ever being discovered. The stigma of being an abductee often keeps those from being taken and harmed silent, suffering alone without any help at all. Now think about that. If these things are so psychopathic that they just come here and take humans and do this kind of harm to people, innocent people, how can we think that they're here to help us? It goes on and says, Kate and Donna decided to spend the day together about a month ago, early April 2014. Kate and the younger sister picked up her older sister so they could spend the day shopping and having lunch together. They left early in the day so that they could be home before dark, even before dusk, as they were always on guard not to offer any tempting openings for their lifelong abductors to capture and once again harm them. Isn't that strange how these things like to work at night? The fact is that Kate and Donna rarely go anywhere without a third person, usually one or both of their husbands. They were only planning to be gone a few hours during this bright sunny day, and they would be out in public and felt they would be okay. It had been a while since either of the sisters had suffered an incident. They were beginning to believe the nightmare of abduction might finally be ending for them. Anyway, they were together, and previously they'd only had incidents when they were alone and in a situation that offered their kidnappers the opportunity to grab them without being seen. This, however, can be done in mere seconds, which is why living with this horror grows to be unbearably stressful for those who are the victims of this crime! Exclamation point. Good point. Kudos to the author for calling this what this is. I mean, it's a crime of kidnapping and abduction. Abduction or kidnapping of innocent, unwilling people is without question a crime. Now, I don't know about all states, but I think in most states, abduction is just simply taking somebody, and kidnapping is when you take somebody in the commission of a crime. So they take them from where they're at, they abduct them, they transport them to the spaceship or wherever, and then they commit these terrible atrocities upon them. That's a crime of assault. So it's clearly kidnapping. You know, in a lot of states, that's a life sentence. It just happens to be a crime that is allowed to happen by authorities, which is, in my mind, is a serious moral issue for mankind and a criminal action toward those being taken. I think the author is kind of getting to a point here where he's basically saying and showing us that this crime's being occurred by these, you know, entities, wherever they are, and our own government's doing nothing about it. They have no interest in helping. Kate and Donna were having a wonderful morning together, ending with a lovely lunch near the beachfront where they live. The sisters decided to take a fast ride down to look out over the dock at the water nearby before returning home. It was midday. The world was bright and cheery, and this one time they let down their guard and drove down the sandy road that leads to the town dock to take a peek at the water at the end of the dock road. The sisters took a few minutes to admire the day and the gleaming water while sitting in Kate's large new SUV vehicle, parked with the motor running. Kate always feared that she would drive her car off the dock by accident into the water, and so always parked, leaving a good 10 to 20 feet in front of her at the end of the dock road. Kate was preparing to turn her new SUV around to leave the dock area when, in a blink of an eye, the entire vehicle was suddenly and completely engulfed in a green neon-colored light. They were covered by a ray beaming down from the truck. The new SUV continued to run, and Kate knew instantly what was beginning to happen. She looked over at Donna, who was staring blankly ahead, as if in a trance, and she did not respond when Kate called her name and pushed her as she sat in the seat next to Kate. Kate watched in horror as her sister started to open her door and start to make moves to leave the vehicle. Something amazing came over Kate, and instead of the usual heart-stopping fear that she had felt during past abductions that started like this one, Kate became furious. She threw her car door open and ran in front of her sister's door and shoved the older Donna with a mighty push back into the car, screaming in anger at the abductors. She could feel her skin burning and horrific pain in her arms and legs, but found her anger was so great that it overtook her fear and pain at the situation she was found in. She slammed her sister back into the truck, catching part of her arm in the door, yet she managed, with the strength she did not know she had, to get Dana back inside the truck. You can just imagine this poor lady panicking there as her and her sister are in the process of being abducted by these things. With all the strength and willpower that she had left in her, Kate ran back to her side of the car, where the door had remained open from the time when she first jumped out, and she literally flew back into the driver's seat. She knew that she was hurt, but she could not stop now and threw the truck in reverse and hit the gas, speeding in reverse down the long sandy dock road. Now, they got her in a panic now. Thankfully, she didn't run over anybody, at least apparently. Her truck bounced all over the road as she kept her foot on the gas and in reverse, quickly backing down the road until she hit a big patch of sand that put her truck in a spin, which ended with her facing the correct way on the road. Kate placed the truck in drive and just kept her foot on the gas, speeding down the road and back to town. Kate only looked back once, and she could still see the green ray circling the spot where her truck had been parked. Kate could not believe she'd gotten away and was able to stop the encounter. Donna sat silently next to her as Kate sped directly home to Donna's house. Kate knew she was hurt, and Donna was still in a trance, but she was grateful that she had somehow stopped the abduction. It looks like to me like the human will is a big part of this. If people can will themselves not to be abducted, if they can resist sometimes, it seems like they can avoid these things. And we've talked about this before. I think as Daryl Sims does, it's almost like an exorcism where they work with these people and they rebuke these things in the name of Jesus. Well, you know, maybe there's something to this where people are exercising their own human will, this idea that the human will is divine. Kate drove directly to Donna's house, breaking all speed limits the entire way. She flew onto Donna's driveway, blowing the horn and yelling for help. Donna's husband and son were outside working on a yard project and came running to the car. Kate immediately told the men what had happened as Donna's son helped his mother from the car. Donna was now able to speak, but remained weak and confused. The men took the two sisters into the house, where they quickly tried to examine the women for wounds or burns. Donna's son, also a medical doctor, an internist, quickly assessed the situation and determined Kate's condition was far more serious and needed immediate care. Donna, although shaken and confused, did suffer a few minor burns on one arm and a leg, but due to her sister's fast actions, did not receive too much more physical damage or injuries. Mentally, however, she was definitely scattered. The young doctor felt from past encounters that this would soon wear off and instructed his father to keep his mother talking by asking her questions on which she would need to focus on an answer. Kate was a different story. Kate was fully burned on her face, neck, and arms. Her midsection of her body had a light rash, but nothing like the harsh burns that covered the rest of her body. She began to vomit and would black out for very short intervals of maybe 30 seconds, but could not stay fully conscious or stay standing without help. Man, it sounds like radiation poisoning again. I mean, these things are just evil. The young doctor gave Kate immediate medical attention, including an IV to hydrate her and an injection, the contents of which they wished to remain private, but it seemed to help Kate at once. He attended to her burns, and he also kept talking, trying to bring her clearly back to the presence. It sounds like he was trying to keep her from going into shock. It says, Kate remained under the care of her family for weeks after this event. She suffered a long flu-like illness, which lasted about 14 days. Donna fared much better and returned to full health within a week or two. Donna spent her time tending to her sister, who was truly brutalized during the abduction attempt. The family spent many hours discussing how Kate was able to do what she did without the abductors simply grabbing both of the sisters, which was obviously their intention. Kate felt she knew instinctively why she was able to save them. Kate is sure that her sudden burst of anger and rage stunned her abductors and literally threw them off their game. She said she could sense a hesitation from them as she screamed and cursed at them in an angry rage while running around the truck with flailing arms, raging at them as she forced her sister back into the truck. That's interesting. You know, we've talked about these things feeding off human emotion. Maybe they fear human rage as well. Seems like getting upset and cursing these things and telling them to get out of there is maybe just an okay thing to do. I don't know. Kate said her very soul reacted in furious anger at the attempt to take them, and the unusual fear she felt in all her other encounters simply took a back seat as her anger raged at this attempt to take her and her sister again. It's very interesting. Kate also remarked that another major factor in her being able to do what she did was that her new truck did not shut down like other cars had many other times previously when she had had alien encounters while driving. Her new SUV kept running, making it possible for her to throw the vehicle in a quick reverse and speed away from the circle of green light. That's interesting also. The family feels that maybe something different in the new vehicle makes shutting them down a bit harder, or that Kate's unexpected display of anger and rage threw off the abductors to the point they did not follow their usual protocol, thus giving Kate the jump on them, which gave her time to evade the alien abduction. I do know that this is not the first time I have encountered a story of someone avoiding an abduction by displaying an odd emotion toward their abductors, one that seems to confuse and disarm them. I'm sorry Kate was so seriously wounded, but very glad she avoided a full abduction. I think at this stage of life, both of these brave women deserve an end to the horrific abductions that have followed them throughout their lives. Sadly, that is not the case, and they continue to be hunted. Wow, that's some wild stuff. It says, about a week ago, I called Kate to see how she and her sister were doing, hopefully that they were feeling better since their last event, and I wanted to inquire when they would be leaving the area. Kate is still recovering from her ordeal, but does seem to have damage that may linger with her forever. She discovered that her vocal cords were damaged, and she has days when talking is very difficult. I could hear the change in her voice, and I understood her continued anger at her captors, but secretly I feel it may be the very thing that will keep them away from her. I believe that fear strengthens the aliens' ability to take and control humans, and once Kate replaced that fear with rage and anger, she became a target too difficult to control, and hopefully not worth her time or effort in the future. Then it says, Donna, however, did not make out as well. In fact, what happened to Donna is something I have never heard before from any alien abduction case that I have researched, nor have I ever read anything like it in all my years of dealing with the paranormal. The first encounter with both sisters involved occurred in early April 2014. What I'm going to write about now happened during the last week of May 2014. Donna was feeling nearly back to her normal self. She and her husband, at her son's insistence, were living in his house with his family. He had a large home that offered comfort and safety to his parents, and he thought it wise to protect his mother from any future problems during her recovery from the dire results of this last event. Although Donna was longing to return to her own home, which is located only blocks away from her son's home, she agreed that she felt safe and at ease staying with her son and his family. Donna and her husband had a large bedroom and bath with a private sitting area that was located over the son's large garage and part of the second story of his home. In the evening, they would retire to the suite after dinner, where they would watch TV, work on their computer, or read until bedtime. It was the night of Memorial Day that the older couple decided to go up to the suite even earlier than usual, as they were worn out from a full family weekend at barbecue and time with the grandchildren. Donna's husband headed for the small sitting room where a large TV and a big recliner waited for him. Within minutes, he was deeply involved with a piece of pie in one hand and his remote in the other. Donna was feeling restless and thought she may be overly tired. She found the book that she was reading and sat down in a large chair next to the bed to read for a while before going to bed. What happened next could not be explained or compared to any other event that I have ever come upon or heard in connection with any other abduction case. Donna sat reading when she sensed something in the room. For a split second, she thought it was her husband moving about, but quickly realized it was something else. She placed her book on her lap and looked up. To Donna's surprise and sudden amazement, she found her bedroom filled with her dead relatives, the clear image of her mother and father, as well as her young son, who passed in his teens, were all standing in front of her. Her grandfather was there as well. She sat there stunned, unable to move. Now, this is something I would be very, very cautious of, because sometimes I think people do talk about meeting dead relatives like this. This could easily just be some sort of a hologram, some sort of a created image by these sayings. I would not believe for 1 second that these were your actual relatives. Her family members started to dart quickly from one side of the room to the other, very quickly flashing across the room from side to side. Donna was filled with fear, believing her time had come and that they were there to take her with them. Suddenly, Donna realized her grandfather's soul was not moving back and forth across the room like the others were, and he stood still and clearly visible in front of Donna. Donna realized he was engaging with something else that was in the room as he spoke loudly and clearly over Donna while looking at the area behind Donna's chair. Quickly, Donna sensed something standing behind her chair. She turned to see what was there, but was stopped by the command of her grandfather not to look behind her. But Donna did get a glance before she stopped, and it was some kind of a creature that was standing directly behind her chair. Donna sat frozen while the spirit of her grandfather took on the creature standing behind Donna. He told the creature that he demanded that it leave immediately and that it would not be allowed to take Donna, not today nor any other day. All the while, the other members of Donna's family continued to swirl around the room. Donna finally found her courage and asked her grandfather what she should do. However, her grandfather continued to engage the alien creature standing behind her. While this was happening, Donna's husband, only about 15 feet away, continued to watch TV until he heard his wife talking. At first, he yelled out his customary, "What did you say?" When she did not answer, he decided to peek in on her to make sure she was all right. That is when Donna finally had another eyewitness to her ordeal, as her husband did walk into the bedroom. Donna's husband took one look at the scene taking place in the bedroom. He turned his head and took one look at the creature standing behind his wife. When he heard Donna's grandfather's voice boom out across the room, commanding him, "Do not look at it," Donna's husband ran to the bedroom door, screaming at the top of his lungs for his son to bring the gun and yelled for help. Within seconds, Donna could hear her son and teenage grandsons running toward the room. With the snap of what seemed electricity in the air, both the spirits and the aliens were gone instantly. Donna's husband fell to his knees and started to cry. Her son and his family came crashing into the room. The room had a foul, sulfurous, mold-like smell in it. The grandsons quickly checked the closets, bedrooms, and made sure all the windows were locked. Donna sat in shock at what had just occurred. She and her husband remained living with her son, and both still need medication to deal with this latest ordeal for which no one seems to have an explanation. Clearly, whatever it was that tried once again to take Donna was stopped by the loving spirits of her family members who have passed over. It seems Donna's grandfather was the strongest of the spirits, as he engaged and prevented the thing standing behind her chair from doing what it had come to do. Donna is still beside herself at this point and lives in constant horror. She does feel somewhat relieved that her husband was able to witness part of what she had to contend with for her entire lifetime. The added dimension of Donna's dead relatives entering the ordeal is confusing for all involved. It's something which I personally have never heard about in any other abduction case or from any other abductee or contactee. Now, that's strange. Just brings this thing to a whole new level. You know, we talked about these UFO phenomena maybe being a lot of different things. Well, maybe this is what they are on a spiritual level. Both sisters remain under the watchful eye and protection of their families, the living, and as we know now, the dearly departed. Both sisters have become disgusted and angry at their continued harassment by these lifelong alien abductors. However, I feel that this change from fear to anger and rage may be the key to ending their torment, and I hope that they can focus on that approach and never give in to fear ever again. I know this is easier said than done, but it is all I can offer these courageous women at this point in their lives. I am not equipped to comment on the strange event that took place in Donna's bedroom. I have never encountered nor heard of any other scenario like it during all the years that I have been interviewing and researching the alien abduction issue. I do know that I respect and believe this event took place based on the quality of character of those who related the event to me, Donna, her husband, and her family. I also find it extremely disturbing, as it may be a sign that we are entering a new level of existence where creatures we do not understand cross between dimensions or space that we are yet unable to fully understand. He says, I found this article to be one of the most upsetting I have ever written, primarily due to the fact that both of these ladies are seniors and at this point just being attacked without mercy by these cruel, non-human abductors. I can only pray that they continue to stay angry and protected by the loving spirits that look after them. I too am aging and find that my days need to be filled more with family and love and less with computers and keyboards. I have decided while writing this article to take off this summer and enjoy my home and my family. I also have been writing a great deal about the dangers of constantly being connected to our technology, and I am concerned that technology will soon remove mankind from its humanity and toward a colder, harder being that will continue to be controlled by devices and soon to forget to smell the roses or notice them along the way. I need to practice what I preach, and I intend to detach myself to a slower, kinder life and make sure I enjoy life and those I love each and every day. Yeah, what a great article. You can tell it's really impacted this person. It says, I will be back when I am ready to continue my endless journey with the unknown. Until then, reader, be happy, be attached to the real world, and detach yourself from the machines, and always be careful out there, because you never know what may be standing behind that big comfortable chair. Yeah, boy, that is some really scary stuff. These two ladies, these lifelong abductees. And notice it was at the end there, when they really resisted these lousy things, that they wanted to come and harass the one sister. I mean, you got ladies with burns on them. She's got her vocal cords injured. What a nightmare. And these are the kind of stories that really show me the light that we should be viewing these things in. I'm not about making contact with them. I'm not about inviting them over for Sunday dinner. I can only judge someone or something on how they treat others and how they treat me. And how they treated these two ladies is just awful. Until next time, this is UFO Warning, over and out.